Kevin, I got to admit, I had a moment tonight.
Really?
I had a moment. I feel comfortable sharing it with our listeners, but I had a moment. Seventh inning. I'm watching the game. Vladdy comes up to the plate with two on. Dan says to Buck, I wrote it down. This team needs a moment, Buck. And for a minute, I'm thinking, based on what I saw of Vladdy with that home run swing in the first inning, I'm thinking maybe this is the moment. For a second, I had that feeling. And then, of course, it went away. Which seems to me to be as good a place to start our conversation today. A 9-2 loss for the Blue Jays. They've been swept in a four-game September series at home for the first time in franchise history. That's a long time. And the numbers to call are 416-870-0590. As always, I mean, I don't even know why I'm saying these numbers. *590, 1-888-666-0590. The Jays are now game and a half out. They've got the Boston Red Sox coming in. They've got Tampa Bay. They've got New York. They have the second hardest schedule in the majors remaining in terms of opponents' winning percentage. Kevin, they got everybody just where they want them, don't they?
You're funny. How come the game and a half out feels like 15 and a half out? It just seems like for whatever reason they can't get out of their own way.
Right, Kevin, felt like they've been 15 and a half out since Alec Manoah was sent down. For whatever reason, it's just felt like they've been 15 and a half out.
Yeah, that's a good point. And then Vladdy takes the bats up with holes in them. Like, it's like for whatever reason, that big swing, they just are either late, they're out in front, they look non-competitive. Those are the at-bats, right? You know, I'm thinking the same thing with you, the at-bat with Vladdy coming up, and then the pitcher throws 97 right down the middle, and he swings through it. Swing looks good, looks like it's on time. For whatever reason, he misses the baseball. It throws him another one, he misses the baseball. It's, you know, and then he strikes him out on a fastball up and in. I just think sometimes you get your butt whipped. Like, there's not really any rhyme or reason for it. You know, you could point the finger at some things and you know, some guys in the bullpen are running out of steam, right? The magic might be over for Trevor Richards, Jimmy Garcia. You know, what is that? Swanson looks fresh. He is the one guy that, for me, looks, you know, like the little break might have helped. Timmy Meza, right? The finish has to be there a little bit more, but he got some big outs when he needed them. It just gets back to the offense. We said this today on our show. It just looks like they don't really have any answer. They've tried everything on their face. It just looks like we've tried everything possible. We've ran out of things to try. That was just hopefully one of the guys with the name on the back of their jersey that we've been trying to count on all year. Maybe can get hot for 4 or 5 days, help this team win games. But what's the expectation going into the next 15 games, Jeff? Like, is it 10-5? I mean, could you possibly think they could go 10-5? It ain't any higher than
you know
that.
What? I mean, there right ain't no now, chance, Kevin,
there ain't no chance they're going 11-4. I mean, offensively, and you know, it's just they're just not good enough to string together quality swings. I ain't even talking about quality at bats. Like, you look at the Rangers, Jeff, you can understand why they're one of the better offenses in baseball. They're tough outs. They get to two strikes. It's shorten up, let it travel, punch it foul. Hopefully they hang one. I can put the ball in play. I'll have success that way, right? Put pressure on the defense. Do you see that out of the Jays? Nothing would tell you that they got an opportunity to go 11-4. So I just don't know what the expectations are. And when you're sort of leaving the outcome of your season up to other teams, it's tough.
Yeah, I'm looking for 1-0 right now. I'm not even looking. I'm serious. Listen, and again, the numbers are 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. I think it's dumb. No, I'm not going to say it's dumb. That's wrong. It's pointless to say they're going to go 10-5, 11-4, 9-6, whatever. It's pointless. We don't know. Hell, they could go 0-15. I mean, they could go 0-15. So all I'm focusing on right now is winning tomorrow. And then maybe winning the day after that. And if you lose on Saturday, then maybe winning Sunday. That's all we can do. all we can do from this point on is get up in the morning, take a look at the standings, and win that game. Try to win that game. That's all we can do. Now, you touched on something, though. And I think maybe what we're seeing here is a nightmare scenario for the Blue Jays. Like, we have all wondered, when does all this leverage, all this pitching from behind or pitching after your team has gone five innings without scoring a run, when does this all catch up to guys? When does it all catch up to the pitchers? And we're seeing it. I watched Kevin Gausman tonight. How many times, and look, the umpiring tonight was not great, but we've seen Kevin Gausman in the past where that's kind of been like water off a duck's back. You know, very seldom will he engage in a back and forth with the umpire. Now, it's to his credit, and you can tell how much people think of him, that he can do that without getting run. But my point is, I saw that tonight and I thought, okay, this is the manifestation of everything I've been worried about. This is the pitchers now realizing that stuff's happening outside of their control. You're starting to see frustration set in. And I think that's just, and I'm just watching a replay here of Kevin Gausman after, you know, that ball's hit the left field and the falls out of Whit Merrifield's glove. I'm just looking at seeing Kevin Gausman's reaction here. You know, I mean, guys are basically, what else can possibly go wrong?
Yeah, here we go again kind of thing, right? Yeah. With Gausman, it's been the consistent finish, right? That's why you're seeing run. You're not seeing carry.
But he's still getting Kevin. He still got up to 97 tonight.
Yeah, getting up to it and pitching at it, Jeff's totally
That's true.
Right?
You're right.
It's just the command is a little erratic. The velocity's a little erratic. That's why you see good teams are able to take the split finger because they can let it travel just a tick longer. When you see it a little bit longer, it gives you a little bit better chance of laying off of it. And, you know, you give credit to the lineup, but I'm with you. It took a perfect start. When you don't get it, right now they're just getting beat. Simple.
Rick and Aurelia, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, boys. You know, I would ask you how you're doing, but someone asked you that last night. It doesn't sound like you guys are having fun. So I'll say
That's not true. Listen. You know, I've covered the Montreal Expos and the Blue Jays. I've seen a lot of real crap baseball, my friend. I got armor that's so thick. This to me is Thursday night, man. It's Thursday night, nothing else.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, I'm glad you got that perspective, man. So
now I can't say by the end of the year I won't be throwing stuff, but.
Yeah, but we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Exactly.
You know, I wanted to talk tonight to you guys about kind of expectations. It was interesting you guys kind of started the show off with expectations, but the expectation at the beginning of the year, you know, this was a 100-win ball club pushing for the AL East.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my biggest question is what went wrong? Because we got Bo having the same year he usually does. Vlad's a little down, but his stat line is pretty much identical to 2019, 2020, and 2022. It looks like 21's an outlier. Kiermaier is 50 points up from last year. Springer's power's a bit down. He's having the same year. So Jansen was going to hit 20 home runs. So, like, in your guys' opinion, how did we get here? You know,
they're just not. For whatever reason, they don't have any power. They're not hitting for power. Total bases, actually, all those old stats that don't matter anymore, they stink at all those old stats that don't matter anymore. I mean, they really do. They've stopped hitting home runs. They've stopped getting extra base hits. I don't know why. I don't think they've all become lousy hitters not overnight, but over the course of the season. But, I mean, there's no power there, man. I mean, I can't put it any other way.
This is easy for me. I've been saying this since spring training. Where's the cleanup hitter at? When you have to have Dalton Varsho and Matt Chapman getting the most at-bats with runners in scoring position, your team ends up looking the way it's looking. This is right. How many really World Series contenders don't have a cleanup hitter?
Man.
Like it's that for me is the big thing, right? Is when you have an elite run producer, and that's what you need. Look at the Braves. Like, the Braves are stacked with them. Like, they're full of them. They got seven
Texas
dudes in their
lineup. Texas is stacked with them.
they got seven dudes in their lineup with 20 or more homers. Yeah. The Blue Jays have one guy with 20 homers. So that for me is you're putting pressure on dudes that quite frankly can't live up to it. And, you know, it's just too much to overcome. I think that's what it is, right? You can ask your pitching to carry you for a little while. Carry you an entire season?
No.
It's just way too much to ask.
No. Listen, I'm willing to bet Vladdy knew that he was going to be managed by a dude named Schneider this year. I guarantee you Vladdy never thought he'd have a dude named Schneider hitting behind him in the order this year. And no disrespect to Davis Schneider, but the fact of the matter is Davis Schneider's hitting cleanup on September 14th in the biggest series of the year. And again, no disrespect to Davis Schneider. That was not plan A, plan B, plan C, or plan D. That was like plan H, maybe. Maybe plan H. Robert in Port Hope, you're driving home from the game. Is it a fun drive, Robert?
Oh, yes, always a fun drive. Actually, it's not bad tonight.
That's good.
First thing we want to do, we want to give Robert Witchell and his staff at the Jays Care Foundation a big thank you. They brought our Challengers team down from Port Hope and Coburg, and half the players had never been to a game before. They were so excited. They just did an awesome job.
Very cool.
Took one of our players into the radio booth to go say hello to Madison and Ben.
Excellent.
And showed him the World Series trophies. It was just fantastic. They do such a great job.
Yeah, right, you know what? I'm just going to throw this out because I'm glad you mentioned that because, I mean, I've known Robert for a long time. And, the Jays Care Foundation, they do really great work. And I'm really glad to hear that. And the Challenger program is it's just a terrific program. So you've brought a little bit of, well, I was going to say you brought sunlight, but it's 11 o'clock at night. So I don't know if you brought sunlight, but you've lightened the mood a bit, my friend. And I appreciate that.
I hate to take it back and throw some shade, but
I've been trying to
get hold of you guys for a couple of weeks. So allow me a little shade.
Sure.
I think there has to be accountability. I think the dressing room is probably feeling a little bit of that edginess. The pitchers are getting tired, but it's also the accountability for management to say, okay, look, we got a guy down in Buffalo, Matt Haig, and all he's done is help raise and elevate five or six guys on that team to levels of offense they've never created before. And I know they're young guys, but these are guys who are fringy, like Schneider, Horwitz, Barger. No, or Elvis Martinez, you could say, yeah, he's a rising
star. Yeah, Barger's not fringy. Barger's a legit prospect.
I know, but they're still, like, he's done something right with at least a half dozen guys.
Right.
He's got them way over their trend line. And on the other side of the equation, you look at the hitting coach or coaches in Toronto, and you got a half dozen guys on the wrong side of their trend line over the last five seasons. Like you say, they're not hitting home runs. You got five or six guys who are way below their trend line. There has to be accountability. Why don't they fire somebody from the hitting coach back in July, bring up Matt Haig, just to send a message?
Well, I mean, you know, with all due respect, that doesn't send a message. Like, you know, what message? Matt Haig comes up here, Vladdy's still going to be Vladdy. You know, I'm not taking anything away from Matt Haig, but we got to get beyond this sending a message thing. This team, you know what the problem with this team is? This team's got too many freaking messages sent to it. That's the problem with this team. You know what? I'm going to make a suggestion. How about this? For the rest of the year, maybe the hitting coaches, shut up. Don't say a damn word. Don't say a word to these guys. I mean, seriously, just don't say anything because whatever the hell it is you're saying, it's not working. So don't say anything. No messages.
Yeah, you know better than that. You know better than that. The more they struggle, the more they talk. Like, I've been in rooms before where you're struggling. Everybody's got a different opinion. Everybody thinks they can fix you. And, you know, you look at the Rangers. When their best players are being their best players, they're a really, really good team. When they're not, they're 5-16 in their 21 games or whatever they
were. Okay, Kevin, but let me...
That's the same thing, right?
Let me ask you this, though. Okay, let me ask you this. Now, be honest. Okay, we'd be lying if we said we'd been watching the Texas Rangers for 3 months leading up to this series. But Texas coming into this series, if I'd said to you, Kevin, two scuffling teams, which lineup is more likely to break out? I know you would have said Texas. I guarantee you would have said Texas because of the two dudes at the top of the order.
Absolutely.
Because of Jonah Heim. You would have said that. I know you would have said that.
Absolutely. You know why? You know why? Because I've had conversations on the field with people that are trying to get through this. I understand the grind, and I understand the back and forth, and for whatever reason, those two things aren't meshed together. And, you know, the plans, the adjustments, the urgency for both, for whatever reason, just hasn't consistently been there. And when it's not there, it sort of looks the way it looks, right? It's very erratic. It's all over the place. And you occasionally need your best guys to have one good swing. They're not asking them to have four or five good at-bats tonight. That's not realistic. You're not Corey Seager, right? Most of these guys can't do that. You're asking for one good swing. It's like tonight, right? Bo was out and around in his one at-bat that they really needed. Kiermaier was late on a fastball. Yeah. Vladdy was late on fastballs.
96-97, they were right there. They were right there.
So for whatever reason, it's just, you know, when the guy they had the right guys up. Like, they had the guys up they wanted to have up. So the placement of the lineup's working. It's just that one swing that they consistently need for the last week and a half here just is consistently not there. And against good teams, against hot lineups, when their best players are being their best players, you don't get beat. You get your butt kicked. That's what's happening.
John Schneider just addressed the media, and he was asked about, I guess he's asked about how you flush this loss away, which I think he's been asked that like six times in the last 2 weeks. But anyhow, let's hear what he says.
How do you flush a series like this, knowing there's 15 games left to go?
You have no other option. That's basically it. You know, it's you see what you're made of. It's a big three-game series over the weekend against the Red Sox, and every series is going to be big from here on out. So there is no other option other than to move on.
I know baseball isn't a rah-rah sport, but did you address the guys tonight? Do you do that tomorrow prior to the game, and kind of what's the message?
They know the message. Didn't address them tonight. We spoke earlier as a group before today's game, and, you know, it's not there's no need to be rah-rah. There's no need to, you know, flip a table. You know, these guys know exactly what needs to be done. So it's just a matter of going out and doing it.
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't listen. I feel there's nothing else John could say. I mean, there's nothing else John can say. I mean, this is at this point now, Kevin. I don't want to hear anything. Just go out and play. I'm not saying that to slag John. I'm not saying I don't want to hear from John, but I'm saying I just want the players to go out and play. You know, you got nothing to lose now.
Rick Sweet was the best AAA manager I ever had. I played on a team once and had a bunch of young guys on the AAA team, and they were lollygagging. You know the movie? They're lollygagging all over the place. He come up and asked me, because I've been in AAA forever, what should he do? I said, scare him. Tip the table over. In the big leagues, Jeff, they'd laugh at you. Yeah. Like, if you did that in the middle of the room, they'd laugh at you. And it doesn't hide the fact or change the fact that Vladdy has a hole in his bat and has trouble hitting the fastball, or in big key moments, guys are late and out and around. And it's – look, it is what it is now. Like, these guys have been here long enough to know that, you know, if you're not short and quick, you're not direct to the baseball, you don't get a decent pitch to hit. Don't even have to be a great pitch. You don't get a decent pitch to hit, you're out. It's really that simple.
I just noticed there's somebody in the crowd tonight had a sign that said, wake me up when Sweptember ends. Russ in Toronto.
I have to say one thing. Jeff Flair, you're to blame because they didn't boo the team tonight. They deserve to be booed tonight.
They did boo them tonight. They booed their ass tonight.
Well, they deserved it.
Of course they
did. Okay, that's not what I wanted to say.
You're blaming me for that?
Yes, well, yesterday you blamed you got on the fans, and then
I did not get on the fans yesterday. I said that I talked about it in Blair and Barker today. I used to boo at Winnipeg Jets games all the time. I threw a golf ball on the ice at Dan Bouchard one time.
Well,
so
I'll be at tomorrow's game, and if they show up, I'll be blowing as loud as I can tomorrow. That's
all right.
Cool.
All right.
Two things have to happen. One, somebody's got to get Mark McGwire or somebody who knows how to hit to teach Flatty how to hit in the off season. And he also has to go on a weight problem because he's too bloody fat, been eating too many hot dogs on Looney Dog night. Number two, either Ross Atkins, John Schneider, who has proven he can't lead a team to the playoffs,
Well, they did last year.
Stupid hitting coach needs to get fired.
Which one? There's like seven of them.
Atkins, he's the one who's gotten all this going.
Mm-hmm. You know that they did make the playoffs last year.
Yeah, look how they showed up.
Yeah, but they made the playoffs. I'm just saying that to correct the historical record.
John Schneider's proven he doesn't do the job this year.
Ross, I appreciate the call. I'll mark you down as undecided about the manager. Thank you so much.
It's like fire everybody and start over.
Well, listen. Kevin, I'm going to say this. I got to say this right now. If this season keeps going, somebody's going to pay. Somebody's going to pay.
You would think
somebody
would
has
think
to.
Somebody
pay.
Has to.
Somebody has to pay.
Yeah, probably.
If it was the old days, we'd know who it was. Now it could be any one of like 13 people. 416-870-0590 *590-1888-666-0590 Listen, we got a lot of calls to get to. Everybody, hold the line. We will get to you. I promise. We're going to take a break. Come back. Take a look around the out-of-town scoreboard, because basically all this year is about now is just praying for everybody else to do the stuff you can't do, right? If you're the Blue Jays, it's Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
John, you talked about flushing it, and that's obviously something that players talk about as well. But I mean, you're at this point of the season and some of the things that you've had to endure, tough losses. Can you describe me some of the mental challenges that players may face in trying to flush and trying to overcome the hurdles that you're facing?
Yeah, it's what you deal with every day in this game, you know, whether it's something you're going through personally, you know, if you're struggling at the plate or on the mound, you have to deal with it. You know, this game will test you mentally, physically, everything. So guys deal with it every day. You know, that's kind of how they're built. That's how they're wired. And they have to just continue to do that. So it's you know, there's really no other option other than come here tomorrow and play your ass off.
That is John Schneider, the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, speaking after tonight's 9-2 loss to the Texas Rangers. The Jays were outscored 35-9 in this series.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah, I know. Almost makes you want to blame Russell Wilson for it, doesn't it? Time for the Major League Standings Watch presented by... I'm sorry, that's an inside joke there. Time for the Major League Standings Watch presented by Bet365. It is funny. With Bet365, you can watch thousands of live games, build your own bet, and you can even make a bet while the game's still being played. 19+, play responsibly, Ontario only. So a couple of the teams in and around the Blue Jays in the wild card race had tonight off. The Boston Red Sox, who are coming into town next, they split a doubleheader with the New York Yankees. Boston winning 5-0, New York winning 8-5. This game really has no impact on the wild card race, but it's probably, with all due respect to the local squad, probably the most intriguing series going on right now. The Tampa Bay Rays beat the Baltimore Orioles 4-3 tonight. This is the first of a four-game series between those teams. Baltimore is now a game up on Tampa Bay in the AL East. The Rays have two more losses than the Orioles do. The Orioles are 91-55. Tampa's tied with them for wins at 91-57. And that's going to be quite a series this weekend. In terms of the wild card race, Tampa Bay, they've got the first wild card spot sewn up. Texas is 82-64. They're a game ahead of Seattle, who's 81-65. The Jays are 80-67. They are a game and a half back of the Seattle Mariners. They're still six ahead of the Boston Red Sox, who are coming into town, as we mentioned, to start a three-game series against the Blue Jays tomorrow. And I don't know what to expect. I have no idea what to expect in that series. You cheer for the narrative. I don't know, Kevin, maybe seeing the Red Sox and, you know, the rivalry, et cetera. I don't know. I'm grasping at straws here, I admit.
I think it would help you scored first. That would help. Like, yeah, put up a crooked number.
Yeah.
Maybe take a little pressure off and maybe that pitcher can be a little bit more mechanical sound and finish the pitches a little bit better and have a little confidence in if he does miss. Yeah. It's okay. It's not the end of the world. That's sort of the way it looks every time they walk out there.
Deli in London, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing well, Deli. What's up, my friend?
Well, I'm in the car driving to work and flipped up the channel to see what's going on with the game. And it's 9-2. I was like, oh, the first thing I thought of was the Seattle series. Because just when you thought in the one game, you couldn't hit rock bottom. Oh, here comes the next game. Boy, and the main thing I want to chat with you guys about is that I'm Dominican born. I support all my guys.
Yep.
I love Vladdy. But, like, I don't know. I don't want to dump on Vladdy because that is my boy. And, you know, all the guys at PED suspensions or whatever, if they're Dominican, I ride with them. I don't even care.
Yep.
But this guy, if he's got his dad whispering in his ear, he's got to tell him, hey, pendejo, wake up, bro.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah, thanks for the call. Listen, I'm not entirely certain it's his dad whispering in his ear. Listen, I'm with you, man. I really want Vladdy to do well because he seems like everybody you talked around the team, you know, says he cares and that he works hard. And I think sometimes we spend too much time trying to read Vladdy's body language. He's different than his dad. His dad liked to have fun, but his dad was kind of, at least when he broke in and I covered him for his first couple of years, his dad was a little more reserved than Vladdy Jr. was. And a lot of that was just a discomfort with the language more than anything else. And unlike Vladdy Jr., I mean, Vladdy Sr. came from nothing. He came from nothing. I remember going down to do a story on him, and he was at AA Harrisburg. He had nothing. I mean, he was living in a house with a family. He had a couple of pairs of jeans, a couple of pairs of running shoes. I mean, that was Vladdy. Vladdy Jr. grew up with privilege. And I'm not... All I'm trying to say is I just think we have to be really careful trying to read too much into how Vladdy is in the dugout and things like that. I think that becomes really dangerous. But listen, I've said this all along, and I'm with Barker in this. If I was running this team, I'd blow out the hitting coaches. I'd bring in somebody who's played the game. Somebody that can coddle Vladdy. I want somebody who can come in to relate to Vladdy. I don't care about the other dudes. I want somebody who can come into and relate to Vladdy, somebody who's played the game. I want somebody to be able to say, Vladdy, when I played, ...
Accomplished former big leaguer. That's what
it's
you need, right?
I think it has to be. Yeah. And I keep getting back to this. You know, they got a dude as a bench coach, but who's one of the best hitters I've ever seen. But you know, I mean, I don't know. They've got a bunch of other guys who are hitting coaches. I mean, I don't know what's Don Mattingly's role in that. I was led to believe in spring training he was going to have a role in it. I watched this team's approach, Kevin, and I'm saying Don Mattingly can't be telling them to do what I'm seeing them do. He just can't.
Yeah, I thought their approaches were good tonight. They got good pitches to hit. They just didn't hit them. How many fastballs did you see that were center cut that they should be hammering? Yeah. I saw a bunch of those.
But that indicates to me that gets to approach, though. If your approach is good, then hit that ball.
I guess. To me,
that's part of the approach. If you're getting those pitches, hit it. To me, the finishing touch of that approach.
It sounds easy. It sounds easy, right?
It does.
Just hit 97.
Yeah.
How dare you miss that?
If I was getting paid $24 million, I might be able to do it. Par in Toronto via Calgary. What's up, man?
Can you guys hear me?
I got you loud and clear. We got you loud and clear.
Yeah, I just actually got back from the game.
Can I ask you something before you ask your question? Because I was watching it here in the studio. How was the crowd? Because last night I was at the game. There were a lot of boos. You could hear it. And there's two types of boos. There's the angry boo, and there's the booing the moment. What was the crowd like tonight? Because I could hear it on TV, but it's different than when you're there.
For me, it was the angry boo.
Okay.
And then for a lot of people around me, it was the boo that was more disappointed.
Okay.
And it's funny because I went with my brother, and he's the eternal optimist, and we were listening to you guys on the way home, and he's like, this is what Jeff's going to say. This is what he's going to say. It's on to tomorrow. And then 10 seconds later, that's what you say. And he's like the eternal optimist. We're both from Calgary. We're both diehard Jays fans. We're here aiding to a sick family member. So we've been able to go to a few games while we've been here for the last couple months. And he's been, you know, he's the rah-rah Jays. Don't worry. There's no point in dwelling in this and that. And I'm the opposite. I'm the fire the wagon. I'm booing my heart up. Because, you know, we all love the team. That's the point. Like, we want them to win. But what gets me is John Schneider. And I feel like they've kind of adopted his laissez-faire attitude. Mm. And, you know, listening to yesterday's postgame about how it's not a concern. And I don't expect you to rip the team and shred them apart in the media. But it's like, you know, this is an intelligent fan base. We know baseball. We know the Jays. We know what's working and what's not. To come up to the podium and just say, oh, it's not a concern, and then you've lost three in a row, the team you're battling with, I just feel like he's insulted the fan base. And then he, you know, and then again, and then they come out here today with, you know, they're good. They go up 2-1, everybody's happy, and then it's no game for the rest of the game. And I feel like they've adopted his, you know, nonchalant kind of, okay, it's going to happen. We're good enough. It's going to happen tomorrow. It's going to happen tomorrow. It's like, no, at some point we need leadership.
Yeah.
And that has a lot to do with some of the players we've brought on. I think Springer holds some accountability to this. We need leadership to be like, is enough is enough.
Yeah. We've got to rub against the clock here. I want to, and thanks for the call. And hopefully the person you're taking care of, hopefully it works out. And hopefully you guys are able to get back home to Calgary and that everything's fine with that. And I appreciate the call. You know, Kevin, I'm going to say this, you know, it's entirely possible John Schneider has no answers. Just as we don't have any answers, he's seeing the same thing we're seeing. It's entirely possible he has no answers. And it's not in his nature to come out and bury his team publicly. I don't think that does any good. And I'll tell you, it was doing that that got one of the reasons that got Charlie Montoyo fired.
Kevin? Yeah, throwing half his team under the bus.
Yeah, throwing the pitchers under the bus.
Yeah. I've been in a bazillion locker rooms. Your manager poking fun, yelling and screaming about how bad you stink does nothing but make you hate your manager. Doesn't change the fact that, you know, I'm having trouble doing something that I've always been good at, or, you know, you're not winning baseball games because of it. It's your best players not being your best players, Jeff.
Hey, Bark, that was fun. Let's do it again tomorrow night.
I'll meet you there.
Oh, let's do it again tomorrow night. Blair and Barker, 5 to 7 Eastern on Sportsnet 590, the Fan of Sportsnet tomorrow. We'll be back with a winning edition of Blue Jays Talk tomorrow night. I can feel it in my bones. 6-0, the Jays are going to boat race the Boston Red Sox. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Crown Rust Protection. New and used vehicle prices are rising and inventory is scarce. Avoid the hassle of buying prematurely by making your vehicle last longer with Crown Rust Protection for a special summer offer. On rust protection, visit crown.com today.